On this episode of Altered Geek, I'll be talking geek history. What's going on with the DC Extended Universe films, MoviePass, and a plethora of other tech? All this and more on Altered Geek. Welcome back to Altered Geek. As usual, I am the Altered Geek, Stephen C. Phillips, and I've dropped my Megatron moniker for this show. So, what's new with you guys? What did you enjoy from last week? We'll get into the feedback later in the episode, but for right now, I'd like to throw out this call to action of hashtag What's Geeky to You on Twitter. Be sure to leave me comments there, and I'll respond to it on a future episode. But yeah, it's been kind of an uneventful week, but it's been an eventful week. So that being said, jumping into some of my Star Trek Online and kind of what I've been geeking out to this week, I recently got the Kelvin Enterprise, the Constitution refit for that series, and I've really been enjoying the ship. It's very powerful. I'm not really sad that I didn't get the actual Constitution from the Prime Universe. Because I kind of doctored it up so it looks like the Enterprise A. I give it my own registry number of 1863A. And so it's the USS Future Imperfect. Funny enough. So I saved up all of this, like, 354 million credits in the game and managed to get the ship. And I had about 8 or 9 million left, enough to buy two keys in the game. And I've since gotten back up to 25 million in-game, and I'm trying to collect more of the uniforms now in-game before I go after ships. So, I've been doing that. Podcast movement's going on this week. I wish I was there. Hopefully, like I said, I'll be there next year. We're starting the GCRN Wars Tournament. And if you've been paying attention to GeekCastRadio.com recently, I've been doctoring up the art on that or the Facebook fan page of GeekCast Radio. And this tournament will be slightly different, only in the sense that I'm doubling the amount of competition in this tournament. And the last time we did one, it was the tournament of the 80s video game icons. Well, now I'm going to the 90s villains. We did the 80s villains back a couple years ago. And I kind of created this 90s villains as the next logical progression, but we just kind of never got around to it. Well, now we're getting around to it. The art is ready. The voting is ready. All we have to do is record the first episode, and then I can unleash the first voting to you guys, the fans and fellow geeks. And in this particular voting, I completely redid the look of it. It's a head-to-head battle now. So instead of having random graphics all over the place, and voting, it's all on one page. I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, click here and then vote on this and then click on another page and vote on this and click on another page. And yeah, so, and it's a lot cleaner. I can fit a lot more of them in the spacing that's provided. So that being said, I have gotten that ready at this point. Just to kind of tease some of the battles, we'll be breaking it down into six episodes. There'll be round one, round two of the sides. Then there'll be the quarterfinals, the semifinals, the finals, and then the championship of overall. So some of our villains that are going to be in the at least the first episode are the 90s Skeletor. So as you would remember, he was one of our villains in the 80s, but he's been revamped for the 90s. Then you have like Leader, Mandarin, Dark Phoenix, Dr. Praetorius, Negaduck, Dark Cat, Hades, Skullmaster, Jafar, Apocalypse, Lord Zedd, and yes, I allowed superhero villains to be included in this as well, just because there was a lot of iconic villains of the 90s. King Koopa, Dr. Doom, Dr. Wily, Cobra Commander makes a return with his 90s rendition. You get the Joker, Hobgoblin, Megatron, Cell, Megabyte, Dr. Robotnik. I mean, some of those are cutting into week two, but still, it's going to be interesting. And then the way that the battles will break down is, well, there'll be an upset later on, and you'll see as it progresses. So I'm very excited to be doing this. I got this thing all ready to go, like I said, a couple years ago, and I've had the art ready since early 2016. So, it'll be fun when this comes out. And then coming right on the tails of that will be the top 100 villains, which is not just 90s and it's not just animation. So that'll definitely be a nice little header up to that. And I'm sure there'll be some topics and some scenarios where there's highlights from different podcasts on the network covering this exact issue. So that aside, I'm going to go into the website of the week in place of the app of the week, because I don't have anything for that right now. It's the Internet Podcast Database. So it's like IMDb for podcasting. And what's significant about that is that, there's this whole website dedicated specifically for podcasters. And it's not necessarily to focus on the podcast themselves. It's more so to focus on the hosts and whatnot. I did a search in there, and surprisingly, some of the Geekcast Radio content shown up. I didn't have an account until a couple days ago, and I've submitted to get all of them thrown under the same account. But there's no information on any of them. I'm hoping that I can rectify that with getting them under my account so I can edit that information. But I thought it was kind of neat, and the interface is very simple and very easy to use. Kind of, in a sense, what I was hoping the GCRN partner program would be, but it never panned out the same direction. And I really like how this site's set up. So go over there and check that out if you're a podcaster. And I'm definitely looking forward to checking that service out more. So getting into the This Week in Geek History, I instead of doing the geek history of the day, I opted to do the week, because it's the way I record these. I record them generally on the day before the release, so the information would be dated. So I'm doing them of that entire week. So I'm going to do geek history first and then geek gaming history after. So geek history... this week in 2004, Google holds its IPO, selling over 22 million shares at a starting price of $85. And that was the start of Google officially. 1911, the New York Times sends a telegram message to test how fast a commercial message could be sent around the world, reading simply, "This message sent around the world." It left at 7 p.m., it traveled over 28,000 miles, and was relayed by 16 different operators. It arrived back at the Times only 16 minutes later. The building where the message originated is now called One Times Square and is best known for where the ball drops on New Year's Eve. I didn't even know that before I looked at it. But I thought it was kind of interesting information there. In 93, NASA loses contact with the Mars Observer spacecraft 3 days before it was to enter into orbit above Mars. The reason for the loss of contact was never definitely determined, but the most probable cause was a rupture of a fuel tank. Again, another thing I didn't really know. It's always interesting to find out NASA stuff. I remember I was in Florida in the late 90s, and they had the Mars rover. It was such a big deal, and they actually had like NASA channels down there, which is awesome. So I love any time that space is involved, just from my pure love of Star Trek, Star Wars content. Which, speaking of Star Trek, myself and Michael Blanchard are covering that on Movie Week in Review, where we're talking about, in the first episode, the TOS original series films, 1 through 6, the next generation of 7 through 10, and then we'll be doing the Kelvin ones, which is 11 through 13. It was a lot of fun to cover the ones that we've done so far. I can't wait to do the next one. Maybe I can. Getting back to the geek history, Apple releases Mac OS X 10.2, codenamed Jaguar, in 2002. So the first time the Happy Mac icon is not a part of Mac operating system startup process, it replaced instead by the gray Apple logo that is still in use today. Jaguar was also the first Mac OS where Apple publicly used the code name to reference the OS for marketing. And since that release, it's been referred to by its big cat-themed codename. So, in 2011, Apple's CEO, Steve Jobs, steps down as CEO because of health issues, which he unfortunately had to leave for. So, getting into the gaming history, which I always find this hit interesting because I've played a lot of these games in the past, or I've at least had some basis of knowledge with. Power Stone 2 for Dreamcast was released on this day in North America 17 years ago in 2000. GoldenEye 007 for N64 was released in 1997. Counter-Strike was Global Offensive was released in 2012. Chrono Trigger for the SNES was released on this day in North America in 1995. Legend of Zelda for the NES was released in North America in 1987 and considered one of the most influential games of all time. Forerunner of the RPG role-playing video game genre and spawned one of the most successful series in video game history. Metroid was released on NES in 87. Sega Genesis was released in 1989. Super Mario World celebrates 26 years. SNES celebrates 26 years. Virtual Boy celebrates 22 years. I remember the Virtual Boy. That was supposed to be like the first, like, oh, we're in a virtual world. And now look at our holographic technology we have now. It's... you're staring at a red screen and the other thing. I remember wanting one. Something terrible when those were new. And my parents were like, one, no. And two, no. They're like, you have a PC. You're good. Donkey Kong Jr. celebrates 35 years as well. So, that being said, going to go to a quick break. Come back with a review of Batman and Harley Quinn. We'll be back after this. And we're back. So, I caught that new Batman and Harley Quinn, and I previewed this and checked it out, and I have to say, although it's got some swearing and some innuendo of what's going to happen in terms of Harley Quinn and Nightwing, it's very true to that New Adventures BTAS kind of look mixed with Justice League. So you get a lot of that in there and a lot of hints to Harley's other uniforms. And I thought that the film was really good, actually, all things considered. Even with the voice change of Harley and no Joker showing up and no other villains for the most part. You had a lot of the B teams there at one point. You get to see Batman. And then they had some nods of the 60s Batman when Kevin Conroy's Batman gets into a fight with all of the henchmen at a bar. There's a lot of stuff in it, but you get to see there's some Swamp Thing references. I really liked the animation style. It was very true to form. They had the 90s Batmobile back in it. Not the ones from the New Adventures or from Justice League. So that was nice. I've always liked that rendition of the Batmobile. But I think Bruce Timm and the team really have it. And there was a lot of comedy in it. A lot of humorous moments. Mostly on the behalf of Nightwing, especially when Booster Gold, played by Bruce Timm, shows up, or at least is over communication in the Batmobile, and has an excuse why the rest of the league can't show up, and Booster's naming all these people, and Nightwing's doing these hand gestures for various reasons why not to have help, and then he creates a reason to shut off the call, but It's very well done. I'm glad that they came out with it. It's very on par with the nature of the Dark Knight Returns, or the Batman Under the Red Hood, in terms of like the violence and the swearing and whatnot and the action, but It still feels like a cohesive part of the BTAS, unlike Mystery of the Batwoman. So I would definitely say it's a very welcome rendition to that universe. And honestly, wasn't that bad considering it had Harley Quinn as one of the primary characters in it. So yeah, I kind of wish that they went this route with some of the DC Extended Universe stuff, but that's neither here nor there, but I'm definitely glad that they came out with it. So, moving on to film news. Since I've already talked about Batman and the DC Extended Universe, Matt Reeves has basically said that the Batman trilogy is standalone. It's not part of the Extended Universe, which I don't know why that would be allowed or how that works. Which means that we may not see Ben Affleck play Batman in that version of the universe. I don't know. I don't know. I'm kind of confused on what DC's marketing plan and how they're planning on doing all this. Because they've got Shazam, which is going to be... It's not even a DC Extended Universe film. They're going to have the Black Adam, not going to be a DC Extended Universe. They're going to have the Batman trilogy not be DC Extended Universe. So you're going to have a bunch of standalone movies that don't even tie together, which doesn't make any sense to me. If you're trying to have your characters collaborate, why sideline them like that? Why go to all that trouble? I mean, I know their DC Extended Universe isn't very good by comparison to Marvel, but Marvel, they have to create their own thing, and maybe they're right doing it this way, but I'm not entirely sure. I think that, because I mean, now we're getting the report that, you know, they're going to do a Joker and Harley movie, Suicide Squad 2, which those are going to be in that, but there's even going to be a Joker origin film, which I'm not particularly a fan of. I'm trying to be careful with how I say it, but like, the Hangover director is going to develop the Joker origin film that won't star Jared Leto. They won't even have Jared Leto, which I'm at least happy for that. But I don't know. I don't really know what DC's marketing plan is for this. I guess if you're wanting like all these individual films, why not do them animated? Why go to all this trouble? I mean, we already got the Killing Joke, which already basically had the Joker's origin. Because you're not really supposed to know who he is. So why we're going to get this Joker origin movie, I'm not entirely sure. But they're saying that it's supposed to be a gritty, grounded, hard-boiled crime film set in the early 80s. And isn't meant to feel like a DC movie as much as one of the Scorsese films from the era, like Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, or King of Comedy. Todd Phillips and Scott Silver are writing already, and there's nothing firm on when it will fit into the DC schedule. I don't like Leto as the Joker, but I don't really see the need to do this either. What are you guys' thoughts on it? I mean, I'm not a fan of the Joker and Harley Quinn film that's going to be coming with Leto and Robbie either, which is supposed to be done by the people that did This Is Us or Crazy Stupid Love. And they're going to reprise their role in Suicide Squad 2, which is being fast-tracked. I wasn't a fan of the first one, so a lot of this stuff kind of pales by comparison. The Hollywood Reporter made apparently a blunder, though, in the Batman information, saying that they've updated their story with the following correction. An earlier version of the story stated that Matt Reeves' Batman was part of Warner Brothers' new label and would star a new actor as Batman, but it is unclear where the project will fall. So the original story was that Ben Affleck will not star in the Batman, and that it would not be a part of the universe. So it's all kind of up in the air. I'm so sick of these stupid rumors and all these news sites coming up with this clickbait that basically they don't know anything. It's kind of all disappointing all the way around. Because I definitely want Ben Affleck back as Batman, Bruce Wayne. But I don't... I just... I'm not sure DC even knows what they're doing when they're handling any of this information. I don't even know anymore. So, Transformers Bumblebee is set... It reveals that they're going to go back and do the origin of Bumblebee, more or less, when he first hits Earth. And he's going to be in his classic Volkswagen Beetle form that they Volkswagen previously swore, no, we can never have that in the films. But I guess after, you know, money kind of talks with having the yellow Camaro for so long, that they're kind of ready to let it happen. So... Yep, they've got a couple of the yellow Volkswagen Beetles on set, and they're already starting to film that, and they're saying that's going to be the year 1987, and Bumblebee finds refuge in a junkyard, small Californian beach town. They're going to have Charlie Hailey Steinfeld on the cusp of turning 18, trying to find her place in the world, discovers Bumblebee, and she revives him. I just don't know with films anymore. I don't have the enthusiasm I used to have, which is unfortunate. Because I really do like watching films. But at this point, I'm between the reboots, sequels, and all of that, and then coming back and having just more of this and more of... I don't know. I think Hollywood's pretty burnt out. Remember when I may or may not have brought this up, but the MoviePass thing, which is supposed to be, it's this new subscription service anyway. It's been around for a couple of years, but it's kind of really hit the mainstream. It's been around since 2011. It's just more so getting a lot of notice now because a lot of places take it. But it's hit a stumbling block, apparently, because AMC theaters are blocking users from being able to purchase e-tickets at locations in Boston and Denver. And it's saying that they have this $10 a month pricing model because they introduced it, and it allows subscribers to see a movie a day in theaters. So you can see any movie you want, no blackouts. It's just for a regular 2D movie, not 3D, not for IMAX. which I think is fine because most of the time, at least at theaters around here, they're like $5-6 up to $8. But anyways, they're saying that because they lowered this price, AMC is having a statement saying that it would be consulting with its attorney to see if it could block MoviePass because they're saying that it's unsustainable. It would be giving moviegoers disappointment down the road when it goes under. So they don't really want that becoming an issue. Although, I don't see how ticket sales are going to make a difference because the theaters don't really make much off of that anymore anyway. And they make more off the concessions, which I rarely buy concessions anymore because they cost so blasted much. I just go see a movie and then I'm done. And don't get me wrong, I still love having a large Coke and a big buttery popcorn sitting in front of me, but it's I'm not spending $10 on concessions and then another $10 on the film. But yeah, they have this $10 thing, and you can spend that amount and see any movie 7 days a week, every day of the month. But you cannot see the same movie more than once. And you can, like I said, you can watch anything. It's just you can't watch the movie more than once. You can watch a different film every single day of the week, and you can only do it once per day, which is sufficient because most people, I don't even barely go to the theater anymore, so it's not really worth it for me. But there's been issues with it. Some people are saying that it's more trouble than expected, and because it's an e-ticket, more or less. I have heard from various sources that it just works, no problem, and then I've heard from other sources that it doesn't work very well. I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts on a movie pass thing? Kind of like a Netflix or because it's basically what it is for going to the theater. I think it's interesting, like I said, but it's not something that I'll probably subscribe to just because I don't go to the film, see a lot of films. So, moving on, going to get into some miscellaneous news. Coca-Cola is replacing Coke Zero with, it's Coke with sugar. It's Coke Zero sugar. It's a new improved Coca-Cola, apparently. Because they're trying to do away with the artificial sweeteners. So they're just reinventing Coke Zero and just putting sugar because it's closer to the taste of the actual standard Coca-Cola. But with Zero, yeah, it's supposed to be, I don't know. To me, it seems like they're trying to do Diet Coke and not Diet Coke, but have it Diet Coke and have it regular Coke. It's very confusing. I know this has been out for a while. It's just I haven't gotten a chance to kind of touch on it. I'd be willing to try it. I haven't tried one yet, and I'm a big proponent of Coke. I like Coke. I'm a big cola drinker, so it's despite the bad health aspects, I still like a cola. So I'll probably try it at some point, but it'd have to be cheap enough for me to want to do that. So I don't know if anybody's seen this, but Geek and Sundry, it's the collaboration. Well, I should say that they have Alpha, which is the collaboration of Geek and Sundry and Nerdist. They have this RPG show called Shield of Tomorrow, which I've never seen a live action role play, before on video or in person. I have to say that it's the most awkward thing I have ever watched in my entire life. It makes some of the reality TV conversations look normal. And the guy they have DMing this, he sounds like he's podcasting. Like, he sounds like I do when I'm sitting here talking to you guys. And he's kind of like, and this happened. And he's DMing the whole thing, or GMing the whole thing. And they're just all sitting there with blank stares. Like, they have everybody shown. He's in the one side of the screen. They have the other six people on the other side. They had this interesting intro. And it looks the most cheesiest thing in the world. And I get it. Like, I'm a fan. I would love to do something like that in a sense. And I would love to have the uniforms. And I'd love to create my Star Trek characters and my... Because they're using Star Trek Online as the test bed. And it's called Shields of Tomorrow. And I was watching it more so because at the time I didn't have the Kelvin Enterprise yet. I was trying to win like the new Geordi bridge officer holographic character. And I was trying to win a majority of other things by watching. And that aside, I don't have anything against Geek and Sundry and Nerdist, but because I'm a geek as well and I enjoy a lot of content, but some of the stuff that Nerdist specifically comes out with is the most awkward stuff in the world, aside from their news. And I can't help but feel that this is partially influenced by that. And I, like I said, I tried to watch this, and this guy was just so awkward. Now, his impressions were interesting. Like, he can do a holographic doctor impression pretty much spot on, which I thought was really cool. I really like impressions, so it's that part was at least fun. But they're doing it on Twitch, and I don't get Twitch all that much. I prefer YouTube. And so they're sitting here doing their game, and I watched for about half an hour, and I kind of listened to it. And like I said, it was the most awkward thing I've listened to. And I'm sure there are people that are fans of it and thought it was cool, and... I mean, I guess if I was partaking in it, I would feel it was cool, but so I'm a little bit of a hypocrite there. But the whole thing just... I would have preferred that there was more, like, structure to it, and they had everyone kind of actually interacting and kind of playing at the same level instead of, you feel and look like this, and the other person's doing the facial reactions and saying exactly what the other guy says. And then he goes on to somebody else, or he'll continue with that same person and then kind of give the backstory and narrate. And there was very little interaction from everyone on the panel. So, again, I felt like it was weird. I don't know who else has checked this out or something like it. So moving on to other awkwardness, somebody actually bought, and I saw this on Twitter, they tagged McDonald's in it, and it was on What's Trending. Someone actually bought a nothing burger. Yes, somebody actually spent money. It was Twitter user Arikuyo bought a nothing burger from McDonald's. How exactly do you get a nothing burger? By ordering and paying for absolutely nothing. And they showed it on the screen. They ordered a cheeseburger and put no onion, no ketchup, no mustard, no pickle, no cheese, no regular bun, no beef patty. And they paid 99 cents for nothing. I mean, I guess It's funny in the sense that they ordered a nothing burger, which is it's a kind of a cool phrase that goes around. But to why would you spend 99? I mean, I guess it's fun if you're doing it for, you know, it's 99 cents you're throwing away anyway, and you're just kind of like, I just want to see if I can do this, and then they paid for it. I could see myself trying to do something like this in that regard, and then just kind of doing it so I can show the receipt, which is what they did. Other stupidity things, though, because, I mean, that's not really stupid, that's just funny. But there's been reports all over the place that a man was, or there was people arrested or whatnot, and this has been going on for years. For some reason, websites are just now picking this stuff up, which is alarming. It's kind of alarming that the internet is so full of garbage. Because there's a site called fizz-x.com that reports 4 days ago a man was arrested for using $2 bills at a Best Buy. Well, if you Google that, man arrested for using $2 bills, it goes back to an article in 2005 saying a man tried to pay a fee using $2 bills, was arrested, and taken to jail after clerks at a Best Buy store questioned the currency's legitimacy. But it's all over the place. Like, it was in a documentary called the $2 Bill Documentary. And they talk about it, and it came out this year. It's kind of... And I don't know if this crap's true or not, but the fact that this is just all over the internet... even 5 days ago, Geek Tyrant covered this because it's saying a man was arrested for using $2 bills at a Best Buy because the employee and cop had never seen one before. And they thought it was fake. And the way that the article goes is it says that the Secret Service got involved and they confirmed the bills were legit and they let him go. But they all had the same video clip. It's interesting, but the clipping in it is horrible. Like, the way that they edited this thing with the clip, it's not edited very well. But for one, I mean, yeah, you don't see a $2 bill go around very much anymore. But at the same time, I think that if you don't pull out your phone and look it up, you're just asking for trouble anymore, especially if you've never seen like that currency. So I don't know. I'm the world has gotten so much dumber. My wife even says that despite we have these smartphones and all of this information at her fingertips, people have gotten so stupid. There are people that don't know how to spell because they rely on spell check. There are people that think that a $2 bill is fake because they've never seen one before. I've seen silver certificates working at McDonald's and Little Caesars in the past. We had silver certificates show up at the cash register. Some old guy paid with 1927 $1 bill silver certificates to buy his coffee or something. And the manager was like, took it and showed everybody in the back and was like, who would like to buy this? Because at face value, just, you know, the same $1 or $2. I can't remember what they used, but I know I have a $2 bill silver certificate and I have a $1 bill, so a couple of those that I bought at McDonald's when I worked there years ago. But, yeah, I was the one that spoke up and I bought them. I'm like, if they're worth nothing, they're worth nothing. If they're worth something, they're worth something. I mean, yeah, they were in circulation, but it was still cool to say I have one. So, I mean, I'd never really seen them all that much before I worked at fast food. So, I mean, I kind of get it. But if you're working around a cash register, you should kind of know that they exist. So, getting into a little bit of tech, FTC basically allowed, they greenlit Amazon to buy Whole Foods. So, you'll probably see more food trucks going around with Amazon on them now. So, getting into a little bit of tech news, apparently Microsoft won't be secretly shoving Windows upgrade files onto your PC anymore. Hallelujah. Took them long enough. Funny thing was, I was having a conversation with somebody about this a couple days ago, and now it's a thing. So, the whole thing is like, they would say on older PCs, your PC is ready for your free upgrade. And a lot of people were kind of mad about it. I installed this program to block it on my Windows 8 computer, plus I disabled Windows Update because I just didn't want it on that. And when I tried it on there, it killed my battery and heated the computer up. So I took that off. It's run fine under Windows 8, although I might be reconsidering because my 8 is getting a little bogged down. So, yeah, they've backed down from their little tactics on that. And they'll at least never do it again in Germany, because apparently a German consumer rights group in 2015 filed a lawsuit against Microsoft for the downloads. And it says they'll never download and install files for new operating system. So even though 10 may be the last operating system until Microsoft decides otherwise. So anyways, this particular article says that they won't force updates because of the fact that it was blowing data caps on people's ISP accounts, causing people to spend thousands of dollars on overages. like companies. That's why you load it onto a flash drive and then you install it at your leisure. But the one thing I can't stand about Windows 10 is the fact that if you have the most up-to-date one, yes, there's a lot of features that are nice about it. I have an older build. I'm not sure which build, but I have an older one. I disabled my Windows update on that as well because I got tired of Microsoft strong-arming my PC and telling me when I was allowed to update and when I was not. And that was kind of a problem for me because it would update while I'm in the middle of something. And Microsoft was removing software from my computer because it deemed it not good enough for Windows 10. And so I had to go through hell to get it back. And that was the other conversation I was having with this user. And they were saying that 7 is the best that they used. Yes, it was at the time, but I think 10 is much faster and there's a lot more capabilities with it. But if you can get your hands on an older build of Windows 10, I would go that route. Mine's probably a year out of date. Which, comparing mine to Blanchard's, Blanchard has all these, like, it forces updates and it reboots and it does its own thing during certain hours. I mean, you have blackout hours where it's not allowed to touch it, but if your computer's on after that, it's kind of like, hey, I'm going to do the update whether you want me to or not. And I can't stand that. So, being that Microsoft took all the control away from me, I took the control away from them, so it's kind of a win-win for me. Unfortunately, they don't let you do that hack anymore. It's actually locked down. I tried it on a couple PCs that have it built in. And when they do these upgrades, they actually wipe out your system restore. I don't know if anybody else has noticed this issue, but I haven't had to deal with any of these tech issues in maybe a year. And I think that's because I don't do this kind of work anymore, working on PCs. Yeah, that's kind of some fun crap there. Western Digital unveils a new monstrous 20 terabyte hard drive, external. And it looks about the size of a PC. I would love to get my hands on one of those. It's 5 pounds. It's 7 by 4 by 6.3 inches. It's the size of a rather large book. Probably the size of like a Lord of the Rings. And they show on geek.com this person sitting there with a 20 terabyte drive plugged into their computer, their laptop, and with their webcam, and they're just sitting there and it's plugged in. But it's price starts at $279 direct from Western Digital. Oh no, that's my fault. That's for the 4 terabyte. The 20 terabyte is $849. If it were cheap enough, which I'm sure it will in some capacity in the future, I would sure love to have that, and I would plug it into my my router. Because most new routers, most modern routers anyway, have a USB port on them, which I think would be actually very helpful to have. Just because you can stream all your media from any device in the house, as long as it's connected to that network. So, what are you guys' thoughts on it? What would you do with it? I would back up all of my films onto it. I would back up all my computers. I would back up my site. I would back up my games. Just about everything on it. I would probably mirror my PC to it so I don't have to reload it if something happens to my hard drives. Next week, I'll probably talk about, and I know I missed the Wednesday edition of the show this week, but next week I'll probably talk about stuff to kind of guide a geek's overactive imagination, Elon Musk's new spacesuits, Verizon's unlimited plans that throttle, and the best streaming devices, and why that may not be an actual streaming device, that getting a portable PC to plug in would actually be a better option. I'll also probably talk about some Star Trek Discovery, because I'm sure that information will be coming soon, along with Star Wars, and I'm sure there'll be some DC news coming down the pipe as well. So the last bit of kind of news that I have is gaming, and that's EA unveiled Battlefield 1 Revolution and Battlefield 1 Incursions at Gamescom in Germany. Revolution is available worldwide right now for Xbox One, PS4, and Origin. I'm not entirely sure what the deal is with it, with Battlefield 1 Revolution. I think that it's like the complete game, I want to say. Like, everything is included. I'm not entirely sure. It retails for $60, and it's the... Oh, okay, so it's the base game with the premium pass, so it comes with basically everything. So if you bought the premium pass in the past and the full game, you just got hosed, essentially. because it gives you all the DLC expansions with it as well. And those that purchase the Revolution Edition will also receive Red Baron, Lawrence of Arabia, and Hellfighter packs, which... again, were extras that you got if you pre-ordered in the initial release. Another reason why it's better to wait a year and a half to get a game instead of buying it on release, because, you get it. The other thing that they're coming out with is the Battlefield 1 new 5v5 incursion mode, which has been unveiled, and it's alpha signups now available, which I am attempting to get my hands on. Hopefully they let me in and I'll try it out. So it's saying that it's fast strategy gameplay despite the low player comp. Vehicles are present. It won't be as commonplace as standard matches. They're saying that one major change is a draft system used to select your kit before a match begins, which places additional emphasis on teamwork and coordination, meaning probably you don't get an option unless you're one of the first people. And so basically every point matters, and it's got a new scoring system, so... They're saying that it's going to provide access to 8 kits: Trench Surgeon, Control Leader, AT Assault, Battle Mechanic, Mortar Support, Raid Leader, Shock Assault, Proximity Recon. So, and a modified version of the Giant's Shadow map. Like I said, I'll check it out when it comes out. And then somebody else posted it on Twitter, and I thought it was kind of funny. They had a, "Hey Nintendo, here's a 1996 news story of Nintendo not making enough Nintendo 64s to meet demand." And says, "I'm happy those days are behind us." Well... Every Nintendo that's come out since the 64 has had that problem. I mean, go think about the Nintendo Wii. That was a huge issue. Then the Wii U was not as much. But the NES Classic and the SNES Classic are the same way. So, not much has changed. At least not with Nintendo. And somehow they're still around. Getting into listener feedback, since this episode's gone on a little long, I'll probably cover a topic in the next episode or the following one, depending on the content. Some of this was supposed to be on the Wednesday edition of the show. I just didn't have a chance to record it this week, so next week I'll hopefully have both, one for news and one for more topical-based content. Brad Mull says, "In feedback, I was going to compare Apple with Nintendo, but although the Switch seemed popular, are they as good as they once were? The Wii was the last system I bought, so I haven't been following the game scene since." I haven't bought a Nintendo system since the Wii, and I probably won't buy another one again. I probably won't buy another console. I'm kind of done with that. My desktops are my last line of defense there. He says, "Love the word quantum. I guess we know your favorite Bond film. Never watched the Bond films, but maybe I'll try and watch it because of that word." And he says, "On Terminator 6, I like the idea of Arnie not being a Terminator. Check out the behind-the-scenes video from T3 where he plays a slack-jawed army man used to model the T-800 off." That would be kind of interesting as well. I didn't really know that, but I'll have to look for it. So, that's it from me. Until next time, get altered. get geeky with the Altered Geeks. See you next time.